Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning, golfers. Your tee time awaits. It's the Tee to Green Golf Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Got a thought on the PGA Tour? Want help with your swing? Give the show a call at 803-0550.
Tee to Green is being presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome. Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Tantera Golf Club, Briarwood Country Club, and Lancaster Country Club.
A hole in one, not bad.
Now it's time to talk golf. Here are your hosts, Brian Cozio, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Mitis.
Good morning, everybody. Another edition of Tee to Green, live and on the air here on WGR Sports Radio 550. I'm Brian Cozio, along with PGA Pro Jeff Mitis and Kevin Sylvester. Derek Kramer producing. Another week gone by here in May 2020, and we welcome you into the best spot for local golf talk here in Western New York every week here on Tee to Green. Coming up over the course of the next hour, got a good debate coming up. The article this week from golf.com about whether or not laying up is actually what the numbers say is the smart thing to do when you're playing kind of a safe or a risk-reward hole. We'll talk about that. Also, our PGA leaderboard check. We've got some matches going on, some two-on-two battles with some of the big names you might have been following. So there's now official dates for that. We'll get those up, report. Champions Tour report, Ryder Cup report. We'll get Jeff's Western New York PGA tip of the week this week on controlling trajectory. So looking forward to that. And also coming up in our second segment, the owner and superintendent of Attica's 10th Hole and Golf Course, Scott Howard, is going to be joining us. We know Scott quite well from his work as superintendent at Fox Valley. He's also helped out with our Duster Putting Challenge for many years. Scott has now moved on to own and work at Attica's 10th Hole and Golf Course in Attica. So we're looking forward to chatting with Scott here coming up in our second segment as we broadcast this remotely, still safely for another week. And we'll start off here with Kevin. Kevin, good morning. And another week gone by here with another week, I guess, as Jeff always says every week, closer to the end of our COVID-19 experience.
Let's hope so.
We hope.
Right, yes. Hope. Let's hope so. Another week where Jeff and I get to admire each other's beards. We're waiting for you to get on board with us, Brian. But I don't.
He's
think
a baby face. Yeah. He's a baby face. It wouldn't look good on him.
I've been shaving regularly like I would normally. As far as my hair goes, though, that's a different story. I know we're doing this on Zoom. For those of you listening on GR, you can't see this, but my hair is an absolute disaster, so that's why I'm wearing a hat.
I don't know. Ready?
Oh, Kevin's, yours is good, too.
Mine is.
My daughter cut my hair this week, so yes. Yeah, we went outside and put the clippers to it. Yeah.
Excellent.
It grows back.
I have the clippers. I haven't done that. Good thing I don't enough golf caps to wear, enough Puma golf caps and Callaway golf caps. Thanks to our equipment and shoe sponsors to do so to cover this mop up. And thankfully, you know, except for this weekend, I mean, this weekend's weather gets a major thumbs down here, but it hasn't been too bad, right? I mean, we want a little bit warmer, but hasn't been too bad. We actually had a nice little dry spell where at least things at Lancaster Country Club, one of our home clubs, dried up pretty nicely. I played there on Tuesday. Actually, and it was great. It was very dry. I got some roll in the golf ball. It was excellent. And I even worked on a tip Jeff gave me on the grip. Jeff and I talked Actually, the day before, I think I played on Monday, Jeff, we talked about that little grip tip. I was struggling with it. I got really comfortable real quick with that tip you told me, Jeff, about putting out 90 degrees and just kind of cocking the wrist towards my nose. It helped me out. It took me a while to figure out that I wasn't cutting the ball as much. I was hitting it straighter. So I had to take some different lines after I figured that out.
Yeah, it's been a cooler spring, but it hasn't been super wet or anything like that. So if you're not afraid of a little cold weather and you like walking, it's been a good spring to play golf.
Absolutely. I got a chance to play twice this week, Tantara, and the course is in great shape. It's so green. I love it. And the greens are rolling perfect, so an opportunity to play. And I am enjoying walking. I know, we've debated over past shows about for some of you that can't walk, we understand, and we understand it's not fair. But, for right now, for me who would normally take a cart, now walking, I'm enjoying some of the experiences of that. And I know I'm thinking at the end of the round, I feel really good about myself, about walking 18 holes and thinking, look at it. If I'm playing and I've walked over 7,000 yards of golf, plus in between holes, I'm adding on the yards. I'm thinking, how many miles am I walking? And all it's really doing is allowing me to go home and just eat more of food out of my cupboard. So I don't know if I'm really gaining anything here other than mentally I'm feeling good about myself.
Well, I can tell you Tuesday at Lancaster when I played. Now these are total step for the day. So give or take some, right? Because of just normal. I mean, I'm going to tell you, I walked a lot afterwards with it, but 16,364 steps. That's 6.5 miles.
That's great.
Now, about 5.8 of that was golf.
Yep. Yeah, I always thought it was about a 5-mile walk when I walked the golf course. You're walking to the tee, you're shuttling back, hopefully it's a good habit. Hey, maybe now you're a walker, Brian. Maybe you go out and walk every time you play instead of taking the cart. I've always enjoyed walking much more than riding the cart. I ride the cart when I need to. Other than that, I've always preferred to walk the golf course.
Yeah, I think that now where I'm not constantly thinking about the time of, I got to get done because I got to get to this. I got to get done because I've got to take my son to soccer, or I've got to get him to where – or I got to get to whatever, even sometimes I'm playing in the afternoon before I have my Sabres duties at night or whatever. Like, none of those things are entering my mind. I know we've said you don't really maybe save that much time, but I'm always just grabbing the cart, not even thinking what's better for me, what's not better for me, what am I going to play better or not play better. I'm always just grabbing and thinking, well, this will make me play faster and I'll get more holes in. And then before I got to go, because I only got an hour and a half today or only got 2 hours today. So I'm hoping maybe this will re-energize me to walk more often when I don't necessarily have a time crunch, or even if I do, like, figure out a way to make it work a little better.
But wouldn't you rather play 7 holes well and enjoy the experience than get 9 holes in just because you got 9 holes in? I mean, that's the way I'd look at it. And I don't believe it slows you down that much when you walk, especially if you're with another guy or something, you were sharing a cart, because I'm walking straight to my ball, I'm hitting the shot, I'm going, instead of scooting over, looking for Kevin's ball, trying to figure out where he needs to drop it. Can I get a ruling on where Kevin hit this ball here? Yeah.
A couple things. One of the things I found, oddly enough, and perhaps I should say ironically, in social distance golf where we have to walk and stay apart from one another, I find it to be more social with the guys I'm playing with, because we can all have a conversation as opposed to maybe one guy's walking and other guys riding.
When you walk with different people, like, you'll end up walking with a different guy up and down the hole because you hit it somewhere. Yeah, you end up chatting with different guys.
Yes. Prior to this, last summer I played around at a local club and they had the attachment where 4 bags go on 1 cart. And so if you hit the fairway, you walked. The guys who hit it, Aaron, took the cart to get there quicker. And I found that so enjoyable. It's like having a caddy. You didn't have to carry your bag. I walked a lot. Yeah. Waiting for Jeff. I had a good day off the tee. I walked a lot. But I'm just saying, I enjoy walking so much more than I do riding. Just do.
Yeah, it's been a really relaxing time. I like it. Okay, a couple of things to get to. Let's start off with our check of the PGA Tour leaderboard here, brought to you by Callaway Chrome Soft. This ball is different, and also by Puma Golf Shoes. Our PGA Tour leaderboard, obviously there's no tournament this week, but we do have live golf coming soon, not too far away here. As you listen to this on Saturday, May 9th, 8 days away from this event, the event that was announced this week, Ricky Fowler and Matt Wolf are going to team up and play against Rory McIlroy and Dustin Johnson. And we talked about this, I think, 2 weeks ago when we debated maybe where the Brady Manning Tiger Phil match would go. This match is going to be played at Seminole in Florida, Kevin. So if you wanted to see it, we're going to get it.
Yeah, well, I was wrong. I was wrong.
I want to see it with my own eyes playing it. But, yeah, I think it's great. You know what? And they jumped, you know, their equipment company. It's not ours, so we won't mention it. But their equipment company is sponsoring this thing. And they jumped the Tiger Woods Phil thing by a week. So kudos to them. It's on free TV. It's on NBC. Yep. So it'll be aired there on golf. So it's going to be on, you know, Channel 2. We'll get to see that here in Buffalo. And you know what? I think it's more it's probably more interesting because you've got four pro golfers, at least to me. Listen, Tiger Phil's interesting, but – you know, the Peyton Manning, Tom Brady thing was to, you know, bring all these people in. I'm like, are you kidding me? Rory McIlroy, DJ against Fowler and Wolf? That's going to be great. Great stuff.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Yeah, I think that's – I'd much rather watch that than – yeah, I like Peyton. I hate Tom Brady, so I don't want to watch them. But I agree. This is going to be much, much better to watch, I think. And to see that golf course, that's going to be cool too. That's going to be a really cool part of it. I was wrong. I think I said a week ago they wouldn't want it. Why would they have it? I couldn't be more wrong, and I'm glad they're going to be playing there.
You know, the other thing, Brian, that the other match, unless you had more on this one with Rory, the other match did announce their format, and they're going to play nine holes of four ball, right? So best ball, if you will, in the Tiger, Peyton, Phil, Brady match. And then they're going to do modified alternate shot on the second nine, which I don't know if I'm trying to think. Is that
Chapman?
What's that?
Chapman there?
I don't know. It just said modified. I'm guessing it's what they mean is, you know, they're going to alternate tee boxes, meaning, you know, we can't miss a putt so you can make sure you have the tee in the next hole. That's what I think.
I think that would be it. Otherwise, if you had won or lost the hole already, you would – you'd miss the putt on purpose, so you know maybe the pro could hit the next tee shot. But one thing on the Rory and DJ said that they were actually going to be paired together at the Zurich Classic this year, because remember that event is where they put two to, you know, you have two guys go together. That event's I would say, you know, mid tier in terms of star power wise. Kev, you probably maybe, you know, would you agree with that? But look at that, they were going to have Rory and DJ were going to play together.
Well, yeah, what they, you know, what that event was struggling to get players there, so they changed the format. And I was like, hey, we get to do a team thing. We get to be partners. And the format's changed. They did alternate shot. They did best ball. It became much more intriguing of an event. And as guys played it, they convinced other guys, hey, you got to come play. It's a ton of fun. You know, you're in New Orleans. It's a great time. And so, you know, that event certainly picked up some steam with that change of format, going to the team format. And to have it different every single day.
Yeah. Yeah, so two matches coming up. One on May 17th. That's Fowler and Wolf against Rory and DJ. That's on NBC. And then on the 24th on TNT, Brady and Phil go against Tiger and Peyton. So got good live golf matches on back-to-back weekends
there,
to watch.
There was good trash talk in that on Instagram.
Yes. Did you see – of what Peyton said about why they had to play it in Florida?
Yes.
Yeah, that was super funny. For those that didn't hear it, Peyton said, yeah, you know, he was doing these interviews with Ernie Johnson from TNT, who's going to be, you know, part of the coverage. And they were doing an interview to promote the event, obviously. And Peyton said they had to play it in Florida because Brady, after his arrest, he called it a criminal arrest, has to wear an ankle bracelet. So he knew that he couldn't leave Florida. And that's why they're going to play it down there. And, you know, they're doing this on Zoom like we are here, too, so we can see each other. And, you know, Brady is just shaking his head like, oh, my goodness. And Phil and Tiger are dying while Peyton's – and Peyton, as you know, very good because he does a lot of TV work now. He has his own show. He just keeps going with it as if, like, you know, he's got all the facts to back it up. It was really, really funny. So that part, I think you're right. I think the golf will be better in the Fowler, Wolf, Rory, DJ match. But hearing them jab each other, Mickelson was showing the trophy from the match from last year. He's like, Tiger, I don't know if you got a chance to get a good look at this. You know, I don't know. He was probably not, since it's been in my hand since I won, you know. And then Tiger said, he goes, Phil, hold on a second. He goes, it's kind of getting cold in here. He reaches over and grabs his Masters jacket and puts it around him because he said it was cold. Like, it was just, you know, it was good stuff back and forth. But yeah. I think the banter will be better.
By the way, that match we played at Medalist Golf Club in Palm Beach. So another
awesome facility. Yeah, those are two of the best places in Florida, literally. Yeah, it's amazing. Right.
Thanks for listening here. Tee to Green every Saturday on WGR. Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, PGA Pro, Jeff Mitis. A few minutes here before we go to break. Coming up in our second segment, Scott Howard, the owner and superintendent of Attica's 10th Hole and Golf Course. We're looking forward to having you hear that interview. But before we go to break here, I want to ask you guys about a recent golf.com article that was out this week. And the article really talked about the stats behind playing the safe shot or the risk shot. And there was a study done there. The guy that went through and talked about it, Scott Fawcett, said he's changing the way golfers think about course management. Now, he said, this is for amateurs. He said, you know, if 98% of the time here, he said this would be the case. But he was saying how that taking the layup shot is the smart play. And he also talked about, hey, the punch out shot when you're in trouble versus trying to hit the hero shot is still statistically the better play. So, Jeff, let's start with you here. Do you agree with those observations and those findings?
Well, I agree with the punch-out shot in most cases, that's going to be, you know, hey, sometimes you got to take your medicine. I think the layup, that's going to be player-dependent. And you know, you look at the tour data, they're going to get – the closer they are to the hole, the lower the score is. And I think that applies to most golfers. Now, there's obviously exceptions to every rule. If there's water or a hazard, you're going to have a hard time carrying, or that 40-yard bunker shot, if you're going to put yourself in a situation where you have, you know, some of the more difficult shots in golf, then you may want to avoid that. But I think, you know, if you're a long hitter and you're reasonably proficient at golf, you're going to want to get as close to the green as you can, because it's still easier to get up and down from 40 or 30 yards than it is from 100 yards or 90 yards, and 90% of people are going to be able to pitch it and chip it closer. Now, it also depends where you miss, and some of that's course strategy. So I would always argue that that's player dependent and situation dependent, but I like when people are aggressive and are trying to make birdies or trying to get it close to the hole to try to shoot a lower score instead of trying to make par or trying to save a stroke here and there.
All right. I agree with the punch out, right? Take your medicine, right? Just punch it out, get it back in the fairway, then go from there. This par five lane up, this is like wearing a mask, not wearing a mask with COVID. Is it going to protect me? Is it not going to protect me, right? Let's make up our mind once and for all, because back in the day, Jeff, you remember it used to be, hey, lay up to your number of your favorite club. Yep. 80 yards with a sand wedge, lay up to 80 yards. And then it became, hey, hit it as far as you can to get up and down. I'm with you on the far as you can. I think you always distance matters. It matters in the pro golf. It matters in amateur golf. Distance matters. So I say no about laying up here. And I'll go back to the first time I played golf with Rick Martin, the late great Sabre, twice in my life. And the first time we were playing, and we were on a par five, and there was a little bit of water in front at 235, and I had a 3-wood in my hand. This was when I was younger to carry it. And I'm debating, and he came over and he said, what's the problem? I said, well, it's 235, has water. He's like, don't ever be afraid to hit a great shot. Go for it. Change the way I played par fives. I always go for it now to try to get it as close as I can.
Yeah, the number one factor in scoring is proximity to the hole. So just use that as your bet. And I agree with you, Kevin. You know, confident swing, and then we talked about that with psychology. Maybe a conservative target. Maybe you don't aim at the pin. Maybe you aim at a place where you can get up and down easily, but a cocky swing. So if you make a confident swing at a conservative target, even though it's far away, you're still going to end up better.
You know, you see pros, Brian, at par fives, and, oh, it's in the bunker, and they're second. You know, that's a calculated miss. They are likely aiming at the bunker, trying to cut it or draw it off the bunker, and if it goes in, that's the miss they want. Or if it makes the green, then they're there.
Absolutely. All right, good points there. We're going to take a quick break here. Before we go to break, just a couple of household items. One of our home clubs, Tantera, the PGA Pro membership director there, Don Schneider, wants to let you know they've got a swing into spring promotion going on. If you sign up today or this month, Don says he'll waive your fees for all the month of May. All memberships are inclusive. Carts, driving range, bag storage, everything's inclusive. And all individual memberships are all under $300 a month. So he wants to let you know you can contact him at Tantera for that. As a, of course, Tee to Green, one of our proud home clubs, Tantera Golf Club. And Kevin, I know you want to have one message as well here before we go to break.
Yeah, another one of our home clubs, Lancaster Country Club, where I'm a member of and playing my golf this year. We just want to send our best out to Gary Powers, the superintendent there and a member of the Lancaster Country Club family. Gary, all the members are behind you. Gary got some tough news this week. But we're all behind him in his fight, and there is a GoFundMe support page for him to help with some expenses. And I'll leave it at that. But Gary, we're all thinking about you and your family, and best of luck, my friend.
Well said. Time out here on Tee to Green. Scott Howard from Attica Golf Course. Coming up next, right here, along with Kevin Sylvester and PGA Pro Jeff Mitas, I'm Brian Colesio. More Tee to Green right after this.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome, custom turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Tantera Golf Club, Briarwood Country Club, and Lancaster Country Club. Stay tuned, more Tee to Green coming up.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back, everybody, to more Tee to Green here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Thanks for joining us. I'm Brian Colesio, along with Kevin Sylvester, and as always, PGA Pro Jeff Mitas. As we roll on here on a Saturday, we want to welcome in our next guest, Scott Howard, the owner and superintendent of Attica's 10th hole and golf course. He is just taking on ownership this year. Scott, we have known for many years from his contributions at Fox Valley, but also to our Duster Challenge. And before we bring Scott in, Kevin, we know the Duster Challenge is something that an event that has grown every year. We're very proud of it. At the moment, we don't have an official announcement about whether it's going to happen or not this year, but a big part of why that event took place was people like Scott that volunteered their time, gave efforts toward the charity, and he got our whole course up and running on that Fox Valley putting green.
Yeah, he welcomed the vision and let us he was willing to punch 18 holes in the putting green at Fox Valley, which some superintendents might be like, I don't know if I want to do that. And he was all about it and mapped it out and just even stayed late to do it each time and look forward to it. So we can't thank him enough and all the money we raised for the PGA Reach Foundation and the Hope program. And we don't know yet what we're going to be able to do for 2020. But Scott, thank you for all their help in the past with it.
Thank you guys for having me. This is it was enjoyable, and I look forward to participating in it in the future.
Yes, we hope.
Yeah, you're the voice of reason for some of the pin placements that we would argue with Kevin about, if I remember correctly. So thank you. I thank you for that. Yes.
Yeah, but it's, you know, come on, at 15th hole, we made that one famous, for sure. I just want to jump in. Scott, I'm thrilled for you. I mean, when you told me last fall that you were in line to buy Attica, I can't think of a better person to fulfill a dream than to take care of his own golf course. I know the times right now may have you thinking, oh my God, what I do, but it's going to work out for you. I have no doubt about it. And I'm thrilled that you were able to do so.
Yeah, well, thank you. We're very excited to take on this new venture. It's something that my wife and I have dreamed about and talked about for many years. And, you know, having our own little course in the back, you know, in our hometown here to take care of and to get more involved in the community and see it prosper.
You did such a great – go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, Attica has been around for a while, and it's a great little place. I know a bunch of golfers that have come through Attica that have been pretty good golfers, and you got a nice community, a nice fit out there with that facility you have.
Yeah, it was opened in 1932, so it's one of the older courses in Western New York, and there's a lot of difficult and challenging holes that will help you improve your game, you know, playing out here. There's only one flat hole on the whole golf course, so you know it helps you when you go to those courses that have maybe a little bit more difficult of a shot.
Scott Howard with us here on Tee to Green. He's the owner and superintendent of Attica's 10th hole and golf course out in Attica, New York, of course. Scott, so you were superintendent for many years. You've been involved in the golf industry for many, many, many years. Can you just kind of give everybody maybe just a quick outline of what your careers looked like? And now what triggered the idea to go ahead and say, yes, I'm ready to buy a course here and be the guy in charge?
Yeah, so I grew up in Franklinville and actually grew up on a 9-hole golf course down there, Ishua Valley, which is where I learned to play and actually where I started my career. I went to college at SUNY Delhi and got my 4-year degree there. I did an internship in 3 years. I worked at Gowanda Country Club. After that, I was lucky enough to get my first superintendent job here at Attica, where I spent 10 years, which is going to help with owning the course because I spent so much time here. I know where a lot of the places are. A lot of the irrigation and problem areas that we need to take care of. And then after that, I looked to improve my career by going on to Fox Valley, and that's where I spent the last 4 years before returning now as an owner, and it have some more challenges from not just the golf end of it. Well, with the 10 years that I spent here, I ran a lot of the office stuff and did a lot of the, not just the superintendent end of it as well.
How about, you know, just you have done such great work. We know, you know, from our experience of being at Fox Valley so much the last few seasons with our show, when we mentioned the Duster, we know it was in such great condition and the work you did there. So we know you know how to get a course in good shape. But what about being an owner? What are all those other pieces? Maybe what are some things that have surprised you so far as being an owner?
It really hasn't come into too many surprises yet. My wife, Missy, is got a background in hospitality. That's what we met in college. She graduated with her 4-year degree in hospitality. So she's got the restaurant background under her wing. So between the two of us, we kind of have most of the categories covered. It's just kind of filing all the paperwork and what it takes to get all the details of what you needed to do with the state and everything else just to get the course itself. I'm sure Jeff knows, you know, you start operating. Once you get started, all of a sudden something pops up with, well, you needed to fill out this piece of paper, but you didn't. Well, nobody told me that I needed to fill out this piece of paper. But as far as the day-to-day operations of the golf course, right now with everything going on, we're just running it as a family and just trying to keep everything up to, you know, where we can until we can bring in more staff.
Now, is it private, semi-private? What's the business model?
We are a 100% daily fee public golf course now. We are using Golf Now as our platform with our tee sheet and everything. You can book our tee times through Golf Now and or through our website. But we are going to be daily fee. We have leagues on Monday and Tuesday, Monday night men's league a Tuesday night mixed league, a Wednesday night ladies league, and then a Thursday morning men's league. Those are going to be our leagues. And then pretty much open play for the weekend and availability for outings and events.
Scott, is and forgive my lack of familiarity, but it's a nine-hole track?
Nine-hole golf course, yes. Yep.
All right, so with that, do you think that's an advantage now? Everybody's crunched for time, like, you know, trying to find time to play 18, playing nine holes. If that's an advantage, do you think, as a business model, hey, come on, we're a nine-hole golf course, come play nine holes, get it done in less than 2 hours?
Absolutely. I think that's one of the reasons that we've seen a little bit of the downturn in golf in the past few years is the people that they would enjoy to play the game of golf, but just don't have the time to do it with other commitments and families and their work schedule. I think that one thing that we can do is have smaller outings as well. You know, you don't need to have, the whole day taken up by an outing or an event. So that is one of the things that we would like to promote here at Attica is the nine holes. We found out that about 2 hours is what our turn times are. So if you were going to play nine holes out here, it's on average taking about 2 hours for a round of golf.
Now, if I want to play 18, do you have a card set up with a different tee box for that second 18? Is there – I know there's some nine-hole courses. I think of Sweetens Cove, a famous one in Tennessee that they – but their greens are so big, they built them that way where they can put two different flag sticks in and you play the color on a certain ones. But how do you treat that if someone wants to play 18 holes?
Right. Well, that's how they were set up that way in the past. But again, with promoting the nine-hole course, we have four sets of tees. We have the red, which is the forward. Then we have a white, which I guess in a private club 18-hole setting would be like your senior tee. And then you have your blue, which is your standard men's. And then we have our black tees, which is the farthest point back from every tee box, because some people enjoy to go out and see, quote unquote, see the whole course. So we've set it up to have four sets of tees, and you would just choose which set of tees you want to play both times around. So most people will want to pick blue both time around or white both time around, but you can mix it up yourselves. And when you post your score, you just post it as a nine hole score each time.
Gotcha.
Scott Howard with us from Attica's 10th hole and golf course. Scott, I will say this, for someone who is now in charge of a 10-year-old son and also of a 70-plus-year-old father, your place was enjoyable to play. I know we got to get there last season, and it's like, okay, where's the appropriate course that would fit for both of them? You know, for a kid as well as a senior who, you know, my father who's loved golf, who's played it his whole life, he just doesn't hit it as farther as he used to just because of his age. And also, you know, somewhere for my son where he can have fun. At the same time, kind of a challenge for me too, in the middle. So I thought when we got a chance to go out there last season and play, we really enjoyed it. And I thought what was neat is, like you mentioned, the terrain of the course. There was some really nice views and some pretty good challenging areas. And just, you know, some of the holes being shorter didn't mean they were easier. They had some good challenges to it. So I enjoyed the layout of it. What about the layout would you like to promote here and tell everybody about?
Well, honestly, the probably most unique hole that we have on the golf course is our seventh hole. It's a par three, it's downhill, and it's 220 yards. So that's not even what makes it unique. The green is very small, and it's very much of an optical illusion. So as you're standing on the green, it looks like it slopes from the front to the back. The back is built up and it looks like it's pitched forward, but when you hit your putt, it actually rolls the other way. One of the other features that you find on this golf course is most of the putts, you can't see the break. Okay, they're a subtle break. It's not a big undulating green, and everything kind of funnels to the bottom of the first hole where the railroad tracks are that run behind the first green. So if you kind of visualize where you are on the golf course, you can kind of get an idea of how the putt's going to roll.
You know, I'm wondering, Scott, you mentioned you were there for 10 years. You left for four and went to Fox Valley. But at any point during that 10 years, did you say, someday I'm going to own this place? And did you say it to anybody? And they say you're nuts. Or when did the idea come to your head that you're going to buy Attica Golf Course?
Well, I guess the idea had always been I would love to own Attica. That it was a golf course that had so much potential, and I would love to get my hands in it and do things that I wanted to do. The one thing that I would say, you know, really pushed us forward is while I was at Fox Valley the one year, we heard that there was a rumor that somebody was potentially going to buy it, and that the deal fell through. When I approached the Board of Governors here and asked them about it, they said, well, there was really no wheels behind it, but we're always listening. If there's an opportunity to purchase, of course, a fair offer to somebody that's gonna, you know, gonna keep the upkeep of the course, keep the integrity of the course, we would listen to an offer. And that's when Missy and I started putting pencil to paper and figuring out what we could do.
Excellent. Well, I want to ask you one question about just with your superintendent knowledge here before we get into our last minute or two here. We know that this every spring is a challenge for superintendents around Western New York. And when we have superintendents on, I always love to ask this question. What can we do as golfers to make your job easier? Because the best thing I know of one thing why the three of us, Kevin, Jeff, and I all love golf is the aesthetics of it. We love when the course looks great. We love when it's picturesque. It helps us get over our bad shots a little easier too, I think at times, right? But what can we do as players? Everybody listening here, what can we do as players to make the course superintendent's jobs a little easier?
I think the one thing that we see as superintendents that there's always room for improvement is, you know, repairing your ball marks, picking up, you know, making sure that you're raking your bunkers, that you're helping us out with the things that maybe, you know, would just make that putt roll a little bit smoother or make that shot out of the sand a little bit easier. We have a lot of acreage to take care of when it comes to a golf course. We have a lot of areas to take care of. And sometimes Mother Nature doesn't necessarily cooperate with us. So we get behind, and anything that the golfer can do to just, you know, if a superintendent requests that you place the rake back in the bunker, remember to throw the rake back in the bunker. If don't throw the garbage on the ground next to the garbage can. Make sure, you know, you're picking up after yourself. Just simple things like that really, really go a long way to make our jobs a lot easier.
Excellent. Scott, I know you've mentioned possible outings, the restaurant, the course itself, public play, leagues. For those that are listening that maybe want to get going or want to come play Attica, why don't you pass out some of the information of where they can find all that out?
All right. Well, we have our website at atticastenthhole.com. Also our Facebook page. Our Facebook page, Attica's Tenth Hole, we update it probably the most frequently and get out the most information. We offer season passes here, family and individual, and intermediate, which goes from the ages of 19 to 25, and juniors from up to the age of 18. We offer season cart passes. We also have our daily fee. Our daily rates are going to be one solid price. It's when we're allowed to use golf carts, when the state allows us to use golf carts, it's going to be $22 for 9 holes and $33 for 18. But all that information is found on our Facebook and our website.
Excellent. Well, Scott, we know that early May we were supposed to come out and do our Tee to Green show live there. We will still plan on doing that as soon as the state allows us to come out and start doing remote broadcasts as well. So we look forward to that. Good luck here this spring with your new venture. And we always appreciate all your work with the Duster over the years. So thanks again, and we'll talk soon.
Yeah, I'm confident you're going to do great. Just listening to your attitude, knowing you, knowing Attica. I'm excited for the people in Attica, and I'm excited for you. Good luck to you, man. That's going to be awesome.
Thank you.
Scott Howard from Attica's 10th Hole and Golf Course with us here on Tee to Green. We appreciate Scott spending some time with us today. We'll take a quick timeout. More Tee to Green coming up with Brian Colziel, Kevin Sylvester, and PGA Pro Jeff Mitis right after this on WGR.
You're listening to Tee to Green, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome, Custom Turf, Michelob Ultra, and Jim Beam. And by our home clubs, Tantara Golf Club, Briarwood Country Club, and Lancaster Country Club. Stay tuned. More Tee to Green coming up.
And we're back on Tee to Green. I want to thank our friends and the family of Scorey Financial for their support of Tee to Green. Scorey Financial is a local family-owned financial planning firm. They've been helping Western New Yorkers achieve their financial goals since 1971. If your goals change, if you have some challenges, I suggest you give our friends at Scorey Financial a call at 674-6700. That's 674-6700. Or go to their website, scoreyfinancial.com, scroifinancial.com. Also, want to thank our friends at the Jump Agency with Allstate for their support of the show, sponsoring our majors contest along with Batavia Downs. We don't have the majors yet, but they're coming. We promise they're coming.
That's right. Early August, we'll have our majors contest back with some great prizes for you there. Want to thank Scott Howard from Attica's 10th Hole and Golf Course for joining us last segment. If you want to find out more information on what Scott had to say, Attica's10thhole.com. is the website. We'll get to Jeff's PGA, Western New York PGA tip of the week here coming up in just one moment. But let's now check on our Ryder Cup report brought to you by New Era Cap, the official cap of Team USA. Ryder Cup, still no news in terms of playing status, still scheduled for late September at Whistling Straits. But Padraig Harrington kind of did an uh-oh moment this week. He was on a talk show and accidentally said that Luke Donald was one of his vice captains. Apparently he wasn't supposed to do that. He went on Twitter and said he messed up, but at the same time congratulated Luke Donald. I guess it seems like an appropriate choice. Donald and Harrington had many battles on the golf course. To our Champions Tour report now, and that's brought to you by Donald Ross Clothing, the official clothing for the three of us right here on Tee to Green. Champions Tour announced that they will start with the Ally Challenge on July 27th. That'll be in Michigan. Locally, in terms of the Champions Tour affecting us here in New York, in Western New York, I guess, Central New York, the Dick's Sporting Goods Open, which is played in Endicott for August 10th, has been, unfortunately, one of the events that has been taken off the schedule with that revamp moving. So no Champions Tour event this year in Endicott, New York. Always kind of a fun time to see all the big names on the Champions Tour there. All right, a few minutes left here on Tee to Green. Let's finish with our Western New York PGA tip of the week brought to you by the Western New York PGA. The Western New York PGA has one goal, promoting and growing the game of golf today, tomorrow, and beyond. Jeff, let's talk about controlling your trajectory of your golf ball. Obviously, at times you want to keep the ball low. Obviously, at times you need the ball to be high. What are some of the key thoughts on those two elements?
Yeah, this is how you control your distance on golf shots. You know, the wind, we get a lot of wind in Western New York when we play. I know, I think everybody's pretty much aware that, you know, if you move the ball forward, you kind of add a little bit of loft. And if you move the ball back, you kind of deal off the club a little bit because of the shaft angle. One thing I don't think people think about a lot is the spine angle. So if you're standing up straight, if you take the line from your belt buckle to your chin, that's your spine angle. Okay. So if I take that spine angle and lean it towards my target, I have de-lofted that club. That's one way I really like to control the trajectory. And if I'm trying to hit the ball lower, a little tip of warning there is if you're leaning a little bit left, or it's not so much leaning as moving your spine angle in front of the golf ball, be careful that forward leg or that way you're leaning doesn't sink when you do it. Still keep your hips and your in the basic same position. Just tilt your spine a little bit forward to hit a little bit lower, and tilt your spine a little bit back to hit a little bit higher. The higher shot can be a little bit harder because as you tilt your spine back, you tend to want to bottom out behind the golf ball. So be aware of that your center of gravity has moved a little bit behind the golf ball. So when you're releasing that club, you got to be aware that you don't want to bottom out behind it. Now, if you think of it in those terms, if I'm sitting there straight up and straight down, if my shaft gets to the golf ball at a 90-degree angle, that's not actually perfect, but that's actually a higher shot. If my shaft gets there where the handle's ahead, that's a lower shot. So you never want to have the handle actually behind the ball. You'll always bottom out behind it, so you can have it even with the ball to hit it high, or ahead of the ball a little in increments to hit it lower, if that makes sense. So yeah, control it with your spine angle, your ball position, the blending of those. Just be careful that, you know, typically when you lean back, you'll tend to bottom out behind the ball, and that'll cause a fat shot, and it's not much fun then. So be cognizant of that as you're setting up to the golf ball. So a lot of it's setup change.
Yeah, that shot where you're trying to get the height on it and pop the ball up right away, that can be difficult, where you are thinking about your body position, and then all of a sudden you don't realize, uh-oh, that club's going to come in and grab a lot of earth on the way through. It's a tough shot to do.
And if you bounce angle of the club, so if you're using a wedge or your 7-iron, and lie affects that. So if you got a fluffy lie, that's a much easier shot because you can kind of release under it. If you've got a tight lie, then you really got to learn to use the bounce of your club to kind of skip into it. On a tight lie, you'll actually hit behind the ball on the turf and let that bounce of that club glide through and launch that ball in the air. I feel like I'm scrubbing the cover off the golf ball when I hit that shot. I'm trying to kind of cut underneath it, there's an old saying, we're going to cut the legs out from underneath that golf ball. Imagine that golf ball, two little baby legs on it. I'm going to cut the legs right off that golf ball to launch it up in the air. And you always want to have more speed too, because you're adding loft. So the more I add loft, the shorter the ball is going to go. You see those guys take those full swings, hit it 30 yards. That golf club, they took a 60 degree wedge and made it 75 degrees and then put the handle back and lean back. They're hitting it 80, 90, almost 80 degrees in the air sometimes. And that's why it goes so short. And you take that same wedge, put the handle forward and hit it 150.
I want to add one tip here at the end of our show, Brian. If you hit in a bunker, do your best to, clean up your footprints, at least smooth it out as best you can with your foot. Don't just leave it. You know, someone else has come. I know we don't have rakes right now. It's just one of the things we got. But, you know, do something. Don't just leave it like nothing. There we go. That's my public service announcement for this week.
All right. Yeah, I think you're right. We've had it where you end up in a bunker and there's footprints all over it. And right now, what are you going to do? But you're right. Try to smooth it out the best you can.
Right now, roll it. Yeah, find a good spot and hit the shot. Yeah. I know that's not posting, Kev. You're the
posting committee.
He was ready to jump in.
Give me a funny look.
Well, listen, I was doing a qualifying round for something, and I had to play it out of a footprint. I'm like, they could have just brushed it over. I know it wasn't going to be perfect, but it's like, I would have rather had a fried egg, frankly, than this big divot of a foot. You know, Bigfoot was playing, I guess, in front of me. Sasquatch was out there.
All right. Well, that'll be next week's tip. We'll talk about hitting out of a Bigfoot. That's right.
The big toe.
That's right.
Yeah,
all right,
practice,
gentlemen.
Get on the range, Jeff, and practice hitting it high and low. It makes a big difference.
Okay. Yes. Practice. That's the end of every tip. You should practice the shot that Jeff has just told you how to do. Absolutely. Okay. Gentlemen, thank you. We'll do it again next week.
Sounds forward to it.
Thanks to Derek Kramer for producing. Thanks to Scott Howard from Attica for joining us. And for Kevin Sylvester and PGA Pro Jeff Metis, I'm Brian Colesiel. Thanks, as always, for listening to Tee to Green every Saturday here on WGR, presented by the Western New York PGA. Woods to Wedges inside the Whirly Golf Dome, Michelob Ultra, Custom Turf, Jim Beam, and our home clubs, Tantera, Briarwood, and Lancaster. We'll talk to you next week right here on Tee to Green.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.